wenigstens Wendelausch und Radio kann. Chapter 11, Chapter 2. So, we're just going through the Bhagavatam. It's not really class, we're just reading a little something together and having some recitation. So, this section, this chapter of the Bhagavatam, we're just reading a few verses from each chapter and discussing something about it. It's called Maharaj Nimi meets the nine Yogendras. And this section speaks about a conversation between Narad Muni and Vasudeva, the father of Krishna. And Vasudeva, after the Yadu dynasty disappeared, he started lamenting in a way. He thought, oh, I made a mistake. I prayed, I worshiped the Lord, to get the Lord as my son. But I didn't worship him to get liberation. I should have done that. There's some purport to that. There's some external understanding and an internal understanding. An external understanding is that Vasudeva, he's teaching us, doing some local siksha. That Prabhupada, sometimes he said, once one devotee told Srila Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, distributing your books is so wonderful. I want to come back again and again, take birth again and again so that I can do that. And Prabhupada told him, no, you shouldn't want that. You should want to get out of this material world. So we want to go to be with Krishna. So Vasudeva is teaching us that even though we may have some service to Krishna, even being Krishna's father, which is a wonderful exalted service, still we should desire to get out of this material world. There should be some desire for that. On a more internal level, it's not that Vasudeva has to get out of this material world. He's an eternal associate of the Lord. So his desire like that is for our benefit. So while he was speaking to Vasudeva, Narad Muni, who was staying in Dwarka at that time, in Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, Sridhar Swami, excuse me, comments on that, is Vavarta Dipika, that how is Narad Muni staying in Dwarka? Because Narad Muni was cursed by Daksha, which he won't be able to stay in one place longer than a day or something. So Sridhar Swami comments that Dwarka is not in the material world. It's a spiritual place, so that curse has no effect there. And so Narad Muni was staying there all the time because he wanted to see the Lord, wanted to see Krishna in his pastimes. So Vasudeva began asking questions to Narad Muni about spiritual life. And Narad Muni praised him, you're asking very, very good, intelligent questions. And then he began to relate to him, by way of answering his question, another conversation that took place between Maharaj Nimi and the nine Yogendras. And these nine Yogendras were some of the sons of Lord Rishabhdev. And they're known as Kavi, Havir, Antariksha, Prabuddha, Pipalayana, Avirhotra, Drumila, Chamasha, and Karabhojana. They were wandering around naked with no clothes on, like the four Kumaras. And they were all very, very great devotees of the Lord. So on one occasion, Maharaj Nimi, he met with them, and he began to ask some questions for them. So he told them this verse, which is text 29, which we'll read today, text 29 and 30. Dhulabo manaso deho dehi nam shana vanguraha tatrapi dhulabham manye vaikunda priyadarshanam. For the conditioned souls, the human body is most difficult to achieve, and it can be lost at any moment. But I think that even those who have achieved the human life rarely gain the association of pure devotees who are dear to the Lord of Vaikuntha. So, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta has commented on this verse. The highly evolved human brain is a gift given by God so that we may use our intelligence to distinguish between that which is eternal and that which is temporary. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 2.16, Nasato vidyate bhavo nabhavo vidyate sutaha uvayor api dristontas tvanyayas tatvadarshibihi. Quote, those who are seers of the truth have concluded that matter has no permanent existence, whereas the spirit soul never ceases to exist. Learned seers have concluded this by studying the nature of both. Those who have accepted the Supreme Lord and His abode as the ultimate goal of life are called Vaikuntha Priya. Here King Nimi states that to have the personal association of such learned transcendentalists is certainly the perfection of human life. In this connection, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur suggests that we consider the following verse. Deham adyam sulabham sudulabham plavam sukalpam guru karnadaraha mayanukalena nabhasvarititam puman bhavadbandhyam nataritsa atmaha. Quote, the Supreme Lord said, the best of bodies, a human body, is a great attainment, rarely achieved, and may be compared to a boat. The guru is an expert captain for this boat, and I have sent favorable winds, the Vedas. Thus I have given all facilities for crossing over the ocean of material existence. Any human being who has achieved these excellent facilities of human life but does not cross over the material ocean is to be considered the killer of his own self. Atmaha. And that's Bhagavatam 11.20.17. According to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, the eternal servants of the Supreme Lord, being controlled by powerful feelings of mercy, descend into the material world as Vaishnavas to deliver the conditioned souls who are bound by the results of their own mundane work. Such Vaishnavas also distribute their mercy to those who are laboriously searching after the impersonal absolute. Srila Narad Muni has stated that without ecstatic love of Godhead, such laborious impersonal contemplation of the absolute is certainly troublesome. Naiskaramyamapi achyuta bhava varjitam, and what to speak of the innumerable problems of ordinary gross material life. We'll read the next verse, text 30.
Ata achyantikam kshemam prichamho bhavato nagaha ksamsaresmin shanharopi satsanga sevadhirninam.
Therefore, O completely sinless one, ones, I ask you to kindly tell me what the supreme good is. After all, even a half moment's association with pure devotees within this world of birth and death is a priceless treasure for any man. Purport. The word sevadi, or a great treasure, is significant in this verse. Just as an ordinary man is overjoyed to discover an unexpected treasure, one who is actually intelligent is overjoyed to gain the association of a pure devotee of the Lord by which one's life can be easily perfected. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, the words antyatikam kshemam, or the supreme good, indicate that situation in which one cannot be touched by even the slightest fear. Now we are entangled in the cycle of birth, old age, disease and death, samsara. Because our entire situation can be devastated in a single moment, we are constantly in fear. But the pure devotees of the Lord can teach us a practical way to free ourselves from material existence and thus to abolish all types of fear. According to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, normal etiquette would dictate that a host immediately ask a guest who has arrived about his well-being. But such an inquiry is unsuitable to place before self-satisfied devotees of the Lord, who are on themselves the bestowers of all well-being. According to Srila Vishwanath, the king knew that it would be useless to ask the sages about their business affairs, since the only business of the pure devotees of the Lord is the achievement of the supreme goal of life. According to Bhagavad Gita, the goal of life is to free oneself from the cycle of birth and death and reinstate oneself as an eternal servant of God on the platform of spiritual bliss. P. Pure devotees of the Lord do not waste their time with ordinary mundane affairs. According to Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, the word anagaha, O sinless ones, has two meanings. Anagaha indicates that the nine Yugendras are themselves completely free of sins. It also indicates that merely by the great fortune of seeing them and hearing from them submissively, an ordinary sinful man could also be freed of his sins and achieve everything he desired. One might object that since the great sages had just arrived, the king should not have been so impatient as to inquire from them about the perfection of life. Perhaps the king should have waited until the sages themselves invited his inquiry. Such a hypothetical objection is answered by the words, Shanardopi, even a single moment's association with pure devotees, or even half a moment's association, is sufficient to give one the perfection of life. An ordinary person who is offered a great treasure will immediately desire to claim such a treasure. Similarly, King Nimi was thinking, why should I consider myself fortunate enough to have such great sages stay here for a long time? Because I am an ordinary person, undoubtedly you'll soon be leaving. Therefore, let me immediately take advantage of your holy association. The materially conditioned souls spend their days and nights discussing various topics of sense gratification. They never find time to hear about transcendental knowledge. But if even only briefly or accidentally they hear Harikatha, topics of Krishna, in association with pure devotees of the Lord, their propensity to suffer in material existence will slacken. When one sees liberated souls, hears about Krishna from them, remembers their saintly behavior and so on, one's tendency to bind himself in the illusion of sense gratification is diminished, and he becomes eager to serve the Supreme Lord. Gurave Gurachandraya Radhikaya Vetadalaye Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya Tadbhaktaya Namo Namaha Pancha Kalpa Taru Vishcha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Kutitanam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Janasari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this verses in this section of the 11th canto are speaking about the glories of Sadhu Sangha and how valuable that is. Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Siddhi Hoy, it said that even a moment's association with a saintly person can give one all perfection. But some questions arise. First of all, one question may be there that it's described here that in the previous purport the eternal servants of the Supreme Lord, controlled by powerful feelings of mercy, descended in the material world as Vaishnavas to deliver the conditioned souls who are bound by the results of their own mundane work. What is the necessity of having some eternal associates of the Lord descend to this material world? Why can't some ordinary person speak something? It's described in Golokera Premadhana Harinama Sankirtan that this Harikatha, this holy name, it descends from the spiritual world. It doesn't belong to this material world. It belongs somewhere else. It's not a product of this material world. We may speak something in a theoretical way, but theoretical speech doesn't have the same effect. And for the conditioned souls in this material world, who are described by Jiva Goswami and Bhakti Siddhartha as Paramatma Vaibhav Jivas, were emanations from the Paramatma. He says for them, bhakti is not their natural proclivity. They can't achieve bhakti. And you can't get bhakti, even from the super soul. You can't get bhakti. His business, the super soul, is Upadrastana Mantrachar Bhakta Bhokta Maheshwara. He's the overseer and the permitter. But bhakti descends from the spiritual world. It's not a product of this world. So that bhakti comes through the medium of the Sarup Shakti Krishna Pushta Parikar, the Lord's eternal associates who descend to this world, and they give bhakti. Because bhakti is a manifestation of the Sarup Shakti, the Lord's internal potency. Krishna Bhakti Janma Mula Hoya Sadhu Sangha, Krishna Prema Janmi Teno Puna Mukhya Anga. Therefore, the root cause, if you say that bhakti has a birthplace, the birthplace of bhakti is Sadhu Sangha. Bhakti stu bhagavad bhakta sangena parijayate satsanga prapiti pumbi sukrita purvasanchitai. That is described in the Brihanaradiya Purana, that bhakti comes from association with devotees. In December 1927, in the Sajjan Toshi magazine, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta printed a very, very powerful article called Silanthropism. A very big English word, silanthropism. Silanthropism refers to, it's a doctrine, an idea that Jesus was a mere ordinary person. He's a product of this material world. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he refuted this idea. He says in his article, "The most merciful Lord condescends at times to depute his servants, the dwellers of that blessed region, to the benighted inhabitants of this ungodly world. Sometimes the Lord, he agrees to send his own personal associates to come here to this material world to help the poor, suffering, living entities in this ungodly world. And sometimes, out of his great mercy, the Supreme Lord himself comes down into our midst. The Lord Himself and His obedient servants alone know the real nature of the transcendental world." The Lord Himself and His obedient servants alone know the real nature of the transcendental world. Those souls that are engrossed in matter are ignorant of the true nature of the material, of the spiritual region. How then can we expect them to remember and tell us the tidings of the transcendental world? The conditioned souls in this material world, how can you expect them? They've never been to the spiritual world, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says. How can we expect them to give us information about that spiritual world? He says, "Can a person who's never been to England give us true information regarding that country?" He says, "The analogy of this mundane world does not, of course, fully apply to the case of the super mundane." This analogy, you may say that how can someone who's never been to England tell us about England? Similarly, how can someone who's never been to the spiritual world give us true information about the spiritual world? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says that, of course, this is just a rough analogy. This is not, doesn't apply fully. In this world, for an instance, one who has never been to England may, by hearing about the account of that country from others who have visited it, be able to understand it and also to convey to others information thus obtained. You may have never been to England, but you've heard about it from other people, so you can understand something about it. This is feasible, this is possible, because Bengal and England both happen to be countries that are situated within the limits of this physical universe. And the one country materially resembles the other. You can understand something about it. The people there, they must also have some markets where they go and buy food. They must also have electricity, and we have electricity here. There's some similarities. Therefore, it's possible for a person who's acquainted with the conditions of one country to understand the description of the other from the pen or lips of a person who happens to be like himself, a denizen of their common universe. But we can understand these places by hearing from someone who's also a resident of our common universe. But the spiritual world happens to be quite unlike this physical world. The two are in fact centered around opposite poles. Therefore, it is not at all surprising that engrossed as we are in the experience of this world, we fail to understand the real meaning of such accounts of the spiritual world as have been written or declared for our benefit by those who have had the privilege of possessing the true knowledge of that transcendental region. It's a very, very heavy statement that he's making. We should think about it. Therefore, it's not as surprising, because the spiritual world and the material world are completely opposite. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta quotes in his purport, Nasato vidite bhavo nabhavo vidite sita ubayur apidristontas tranyas tatta darshibihi. The matter and spirit have two opposite natures. Matter has no permanent existence, whereas spiritual matter never ceases to exist. So, these two things are opposite. And we can't understand these things, even by reading about it. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, on one occasion, he was asked in Melbourne, Australia, can someone become a devotee by reading your books? Prabhupada said, no. It's not possible. And he said, what about reading your purports? And Prabhupada said, no. Twice he said, no. He said, you have to hear from a person. We can get so much from reading a book. But to become a devotee requires some personal contact. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says that the meaning of such accounts of the spiritual world has been written or declared for our benefit by those who have had the privilege of possessing true knowledge of that transcendental region. We'll fail to understand it. We won't be able to really understand it. He said it is all the more so, the fact, is even more so if we think about it, because the instruments with whose help we fallen souls have to study those accounts. What instruments are we going to use to study those accounts? We're going to use our eyes, our ears, our mind. The instruments that we fallen souls have to study those accounts are themselves the cross threads in the texture that binds us to this world. It's brilliant. This article is a work of genius. What are you saying? The very senses that we use, that we try to use to understand something spiritual, are the same things which are binding us up in this world. Those who consider that by means of this material mind, intelligence, and perverted ego, it's possible to undertake the investigation of the spiritual kingdom and to enlighten other people regarding the same, that it is possible, with the help of such a mind, to understand the nature of the spiritual world by studying the words of the seers, and to explain the same to others, are philanthropists in the sense which the term has been used by the devotees of God. They're considering that philanthropism means when you take something spiritual and you make it mundane. So he calls such people philanthropists. They're trying to understand something spiritual by using something material. So therefore, we have to take shelter of the devotees of the Lord. Otherwise, we can't get bhakti. We can't get Krishna consciousness. It requires coming in contact with someone who has that kind of association. So we may have had some good fortune to have that kind of association. Sadhu sangha, sarva shastra koi. Lavamatra Sadhu Sangha Sarva Siddhi Hoti. All the Shastras describe that Sadhu Sangha is the greatest thing. And if you can get Sadhu Sangha, then you'll get everything. Therefore, Yudhisthira Maharaj, he told Narad Muni, so jivanadika pratya, shri Vishnu jana sangati vichedan chanam tatra nasukam samlabhamahe. I wish to have the association of the devotees of the Lord more than I want to remain alive. Separated from those devotees, I can't for a moment find the slightest bit of happiness. Mahat kripa binako na karami bhakti noi, Krishna bhakti dhuri rahu sang saranakshoy. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila describes, unless someone gets the mercy of a pure devotee, he cannot get bhakti. To say nothing of Krishna bhakti, one can't be relieved even from the bondage of material existence. Therefore, Jagannath Das Babaji, he used to say that better than chanting lakhs and lakhs of rounds, you get more benefit if you take care of the garden, if you water the plants and pull the weeds out of the garden of a pure devotee. What does it mean? It has a purport. Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam. The holy name is everything. What is Jagannath Das Babaji saying? No, because two things are there. Sadhu Sangha Krishna Nam E Matra Chai. I want two things. Because you can't get Krishna Nam unless you have Sadhu Sangha. You may protest, that's bogus. I don't have to get Sadhu Sangha to get Krishna Nam. It's in a book. I can just chant it. I don't have to associate with devotees. And associating with devotees is a very difficult thing because we can't see who's a real devotee. There's so many cheaters there. I may get cheated. So I'll just go directly and I'll chant. I don't need anything else. But Krishna himself, he says to Arjuna in the Adi Purana, ye me bhakta jana partha na me bhakta sate janaha. But bhaktanam cha ye bhaktas te me bhakta tamo mataha. Those persons who try to approach me directly and don't think that Krishna's name is different from Krishna, that's Krishna. If you try to approach Krishna through his name, you can't do it directly. You have to go through a devotee. We can still get something, as we said, we can get some bhakti umukhi sukriti. But bhakti stu bhagavad bhakta sangena parijayate. It's said in Brihannaradiya Purana, a verse quoted many times by our acharyas, that bhakti comes from association with those pure devotees, who are Srup Shakti Krishna Pushta Parikar, who are associates of the Lord. Bhakti descends with them. How do we get their association? Satsange Prapite Pumbi Sukritaya Purvasanchitaya. We get their association by by some type of sukriti. Sukritai Purvasanchitai. But not ordinary sukriti. We get association with such personalities by bhakti umukhi sukriti. So if we chant the holy name of the Lord, a very, very wonderful thing will happen. Even if you don't have guru, even if you don't have sadhu sangha, if we chant sincerely, then we'll get the association with the devotees. And then by association with devotees, what will we get? We'll get deeper Krishna now. And from deeper Krishna Nam, what will we get? Deeper Sadhu Sangha. And from deeper Sadhu Sangha, what will we get? Even deeper Krishna Nam. And from even deeper Krishna Nam, what will we get? Even deeper Sadhu Sangha. Therefore, Sadhu Sangha Krishna Nam E Matra Chai. These two things are the only things that I require. And Maharaj Nimi is saying here, he's glorifying the Navayugendras, that you're coming, and it's such a wonderful thing to have your association. Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha Sarva Siddhi Hoy. Just a moment's association with you will give me everything. And this is described in this, all the Shastras say this thing. Sadhu Sangha Sarva Shastri Hoy. All the Shastras say, just a moment's association with the Sadhu. The Naradiya Purana describes a very wonderful story, which we printed in our 22nd issue of Krishna Katamrita Bindu, that once Sanat Kumar was speaking to Narad Muni. And he told him a story about a king who was in the solar dynasty. His name was Bahu. And he was the son of King Brika. And he ruled very nicely. But after some time, because he had that big position of being a king, being a leader, some dumba, pride, came to him. The 15th chapter, the first canto, chapter 7 of Narada Purana describes, Ekada tasya ragyovai sarva sampadana sakrit ahankaro maham yagye masu yo lobahetukaha. This pride is a destroyer of all wealth. It's a source of false ego, ahankar, and of all types of failure. This pride, accompanied by jealousy, masuyo, and loba, greed, hetuka, it took possession of the king. And so when the king became proud, he started thinking, yes, there's no one like me. I'm a very, very great personality. And he became jealous, and he started becoming more and more puffed up. And so then, gradually, because of his pride, he couldn't have very good relations with other neighboring kings. And the Hayahayas and Talajunga kings gradually became his enemies. And he fought with them. For 1 month, this King Bahu fought with those kings, and he was defeated. So then he ran away to the forest to save his life. He was very dejected and morose. He was accompanied, he'd lost everything. All they had left was his two wives. And he went into that very dense forest, and he saw a very nice lake there, which gave him some pleasure looking at it. But when all the birds and creatures that were living there saw that this king had come, they started lamenting. This is very, very bad. Just look, this very, very sinful, terrible creature has come here. And they ran away. So King Bahu, he stayed at that place for many days. But he couldn't get control of his mind. He was just lamenting so much. I lost everything. I lost my kingdom. I was defeated by these people. When a proud person becomes defeated, it's a very, very bitter pill. A very, very difficult thing to take. So because of his severe mental agony in his old age, he became very weak and sick. And finally he died there by that lake. Now, by his good fortune, there was one saintly person who was living near that lake, whose name was Orva Rishi. And after this King Bahu died, the youngest wife, she became very miserable. And she went to burn the body of her husband, and she decided that she'll commit sati. She'll also take her own life and enter into the fire. That Rishi, Orva Rishi, who was Trikala Gya, he was doing his bhajan, and all of a sudden he could understand that this king had just died near him, and that the king's youngest wife was going to commit sati. So he went there, and he stopped that young woman. He said, don't do this thing. It's not proper for you to commit sati. It'll be a very great offense. Because within the womb of your body is a great king. You're pregnant. You have a child there. So he told her, you don't do this thing. It's a very, very sinful thing to kill a child in the womb. And then he gave her some instructions about how to burn King Bahu's body. And so she did that thing. She burned the body of her husband. And then the Narada Purana describes that when that body of the king, Bahu, was burned, Orva Rishi was standing nearby, looking on. And then suddenly a very amazing thing happened. Suddenly the king came out of that fire. You could see his form, a very, very effulgent, brilliant form. And it's described that he ascended a transcendental chariot which descended from the spiritual world. He bowed down to Orva Rishi, and then it said, Prapade Paramam Padam, that he attained the supreme abode of the Lord. How is this? Such a sinful person that even the creatures in the forest didn't want to look at his face, and they ran away from him. A person who was so absorbed in materialism that he died lamenting. The 88th text of this chapter describes Kalevaram Vatad Bhashma tad dumin tapi satyamaha yadi pasyati punyatma sayati paramam padam. If a great soul, a satyam, simply looks favorably at a dead body, at the ashes of a dead body, or the column of smoke going up from a funeral pyre, then that fortunate soul that occupied that body attains the highest goal. This is a statement of Naradiya Purana. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastriya. All the Shastras describe the glories of Sadhu Sangha. So Narad Purana describes this. It describes about such a powerful thing, Mahapataka Yuktova Sarvapatakai Padam Padam Prayatyeva Mahadir Avalokitaha. Whether they have possessed a great sins, Mahapatak, or all types of sins, Sarvapatak, persons attain the supreme abode if they receive the gracious glance of great souls. So who's a Mahapatak? Narada Purana describes the 14th chapter of the first canto, seven chapters later. Brahmaha surapi chaste cha guru katalpagaha mahapataki naste te tatsam yogi cha panchama. There's five types of persons who are known as mahapatakas. One is the killer of a Brahman, Brahmaha. The second one is Surapi, a drunkard. And the third one is Chastei, someone who's a thief. The fourth one, Chayaguru Talpagaha, someone who has sex with the wife of their guru. And the fifth one is someone who associates with these persons. They're all Mahapatakis. But it's described that even those Mahapatikis, if a Satama, a great soul, just looks at them, just looks at their dead body, just looks at the ashes of their dead body, just looks at the smoke going up from their funeral pyre, then such a person can get liberation. A similar thing is described in Hari Bhakti Sutta Dvaya, where Dharani Devi, she glorifies Prahlad Maharaj with the following words. Aho kritartha sutaram niloko yasmin stito bhagavato tamosi sprishyanti pashyanti chaye bhavantam bhavamshayamste hari loka bhajaha. She said that this human world now is very fortunate because you, the best of the Vaishnavas, are present. Everyone who touches you or sees you and sees a symptom of your ecstatic emotions will become entitled to take up residence in Hari Lok, in the spiritual world, just by seeing a devotee like Prahlad Maharaj. A few chapters later, in the same Hari Bhakti Sutta Dvaya, describes the influence that Prahlad Maharaj had upon persons who just saw his ecstatic symptoms. Chapter 15, text 1 to 2 describes that. Sudvatya bhuta vairagya janas tashyodjola giraha ashuni mumuchu kechid viksha te ke pya namams chitam lilayanye pare hasyad bhakcha keran vismayat janas tam sangaso pashyam sarvatapi hitainasa. Upon hearing his brilliant words that Prahlad Maharaj spoke, some people felt an extraordinary sense of detachment from material life and began to shed tears. Others who just saw him responded by bowing down to him. Other people were amazed to see him playfully laugh, and they simply stood in groups watching him. All of these people were relieved of worldly contamination just by seeing Prahlad Maharaj. So lava matra sadhu sangha sarva siddhi hoy, just a moment's association. Therefore King Nimi, he didn't even offer a glass of water to the yogendras. He didn't do proper etiquette. He didn't wait for them to invite him to speak. He thought, I'm such a fallen, nasty person, I have such a wonderful opportunity now. These saintly persons have come. I shouldn't waste one second. Let me immediately inquire from them. Let me immediately take advantage of their association. Now, another question arises in this regard, that if it's said, lava matu sadhu sangha, that sadhu siddhi hoy, that just a moment's association with a saintly person can give us everything, we may question, how can we accept that statement? If some exaggeration is there. Because I've had such association. We may have had association by some great good fortune with a saintly person. We may have had more than a moment. We may have had many months or weeks or years of association. But still, our material contamination is still there. So, this is some exaggeration. We may think like that. Don't think that. We have to understand what really is sadhu sangha. My spiritual master, he spoke about this thing here in Bhubaneswar on one occasion. He said, what is association? One may say that to come in close proximity to a person is association, but that's not a fact. Association takes place in the mind, in the heart. As long as there are desires for material enjoyment, desires for liberation, desires for mystic perfections, and other desires in your heart, then you're not doing sadhu sangha. You're doing asat sangha. Even though you may come and sit down in front of a sadhu, even though you may stay in the temple, if all these thoughts and desires in your mind, then you're doing asat sangha, do sangha. You're not doing real sadhu sangha. If your heart's not crying how to have real association of Granta Bhagavat and Bhakta Bhagavat, then you can't get their association. Even if you don't go anywhere, if you just sit in one place, still you'll have do sangha. In our minds, there are hundreds and thousands of desires giving do sangha to us. Is your stupid mind thinking about Krishna? Is your stupid mind thinking about the instruction of Sadhu Guru Vaishnav? Is your stupid mind thinking about the instructions of Mahaprabhu and his dear devotees? If the stupid mind is not thinking these things, then you're doing do sangha, asat sangha. You're not doing sadhu sangha at all. Externally or apparently you're staying in the temple, but you're really doing asat sangha. So we have to look at these things. We have to ask this question. Why is it I've been here for so long and I still have all these material desires? If this Maharaj Bahu, he didn't even get to meet this Orva Rishi. But he got to this spiritual world just by the glance of Orva Rishi. If people, just upon seeing Prahlad Maharaj, became purified, what's wrong with me? I've been here so long, I'm engaged in devotional activities. Why aren't I getting the benefit? Because we're not really doing sadhu sangha. The example is given of the Ganga. The Ganga will purify everything. But it'll purify urine, it'll purify stool, it'll purify a dead body. But if you take some urine and you put it in a bottle, and you put a tight cap on that bottle, and you put that bottle in the Ganga, will the Ganga purify that urine? No, because there's no contact with that urine. So we have to have real contact with the sadhu, and that contact takes place in the heart. Thakur Bhaktivinod, he describes a similar thing in his commentary on Upadeshamrita. What is association and giving up association? Many people have doubts about this. This is an important thing. We have to understand what it really means to have sadhu sangha. Otherwise, some doubts will come. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says a similar thing there. He says that sadhu sangha doesn't just mean going and physically sitting near someone. But sadhu sangha means that we adopt the mood of that sadhu. We associate in the heart with the sadhu. So in this second verse, in the purport, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, they've discussed that Maharaj Mimi, he didn't inquire some nonsense thing from the Navayogendras. It said, according to Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, normal etiquette would dictate that a host immediately ask a guest who's arrived about his well-being. But Maharaj Nimi didn't do that. Such an inquiry, says, is unsuitable to place before self-realized devotees of the Lord, who are themselves the bestowers of all well-being. According to Srila Vishwanath, the king knew that it would be useless to ask the sage about their business affairs, since the only business of pure devotees of the Lord is the achievement of the supreme goal of life. This same subject matter has been discussed in Chaitanya Bhagavat in the 9th chapter, the Ancha Lila. Sometimes a person, he'll go to his friend and he'll say, "Oh, my dear friend, how are you doing? Is everything okay?" In all languages of the world, we have this etiquette. How are you doing? Is everything all right? But Mahaprabhu revealed, Kushala sabdera arta vyakta kori bhare bhakti yache kori varta loina sukhare. But Mahaprabhu said that what is really kushala, or well-being, is to inquire if that person has bhakti. That's a real thing to ask someone. Not how is your body doing, but do you have bhakti yet? Similarly, in the Bhagavatam, the 4th canto, Prita Maharaj, when the 4 Kumaras came to him, he said to them, Bhavatsu kushala prashna atmarami sunishyate kushala kushala yatana santi matti vrittaya. He said, my dear sirs, this is how he greeted them, there's no need for me to ask about your good fortune, your good or bad fortune, because you're always absorbed in ecstasy, in spiritual life. The mental concoctions of auspiciousness and inauspiciousness doesn't exist in you. So sadhus, they don't inquire from other saintly persons, how are you? In this regard, in his Bhagavata Parja commentary in the Bhagavatam, Madhvacharya quotes the Naradiya Purana, Atyuttamananam kushala prashno loko sukhe chaya nityadapta sukat vatu natesham yujate kvachit. Exalted persons inquire about people's well-being to make them happy. Otherwise, they're not very concerned about the happiness of their own people. They don't worry about it. Similarly, in his commentary on the 2nd canto, first chapter 26, Madhva quotes the Padma Purana. Lokanam sukakartritvam apeksha kushalam vibho prichate satatanadat katam tashiva prichate. Inquiries about people's well-being are made to make them happy. That's why they're always joyfully and done in this way. But sadhus, they don't ask, how is your body doing? How is your children? What's the weather like? How are you doing? When they greet someone else, they say, bhajan koshal? How is your bhajan? Is everything well for your bhajan? In the Jiva Dharma, Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes how Raghunath Das Babaji, he greeted Vijay. He told him, tomader bhajane ki rupa hoite chi? How is your bhajan? This is the way devotees should greet saintly persons. Is everything okay for your bhajan? Is everything okay for your service? So Maharaj Nimi, he understood this thing. And he didn't bother asking the Navayugendras about their health or their mundane well-being. And this is how we associate with saintly persons. We have to know what to inquire from them. Otherwise, Prabhupada said, you may be doing sadhu sangha, but you're not really doing sadhu sangha. He said, you're just like a mosquito. Mosquito's right there next to the king. He's getting association with the king, right? But he's not associating with the king. Sadhu sangha takes place in the mind and the heart. And it begins with inquiring, the proper type of inquiry in the sadhu, not just asking, how is your health? What is your body like? So we'll stop there. Grantanashimad Bhagavatam ki
jai.
Gopremanandri Hari Hari Bo. Any questions or comments, Guruji?
Is there any explanation why this king got this mercy? Because we see that he just didn't ask for any help or liberation. So it looks like they just, the order mercy just throwing on him.
There's not, the Nardiya Purana doesn't say why it was that he got that, but we can understand from other things and other literatures, if we apply them and we look at this pastime a little bit more, this, first of all, he was born in the Solar Dynasty, in the same dynasty as Lord Ramachandra, and it's said that he was a very good king. He was doing things very nicely. So, although there's no description given of it, we can understand that if a king is, he's being a good king, he's ruling nicely, it means that he must have been taking care of sages and rishis. A good king is one who maintains the roads nicely. He plants shade trees next to the road. Thakur Bhaktivinoda describes this in Chaitanya Sikshamrita. He may make some places for people to take bath when they're wandering along the road. And by doing that, some person will get some sukriti. But if a sadhu one time comes along and sits underneath one of those trees, the saintly Vaishnava, or takes a bath in one of those lakes, then you get bhakti and mukhi sukriti. So if he was a good king, then we should understand that it implies he must have done some of these things. He was a good king in the beginning, but later pride overtook him. So he must have done some of those things. He must have gotten some kind of bhakti and mukhi sukriti. He must have gotten some kind of blessings from some saintly persons. And because of that, he got association after his death with more of a rishi. Very astonishing story. Is that okay?
Yes.
Srila Prabhupada Adi Ki.